So we've been learning this week about the Isser of being Meshach, by bowing down on a Ritzpah Shalavonim. By bowing down, a person who completely spreads out his body, his head, his hands, his legs, onto a stone. So the Gemara in Megillah Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis tells us that there is an Isser Deraisa involved in doing so. It's based on the pasuk. It says, "V'even maskis lo sitnu bartechem l'shachavos aleh ki ani Hashem elokeichem." You should not place down a stone floor and bow down on it. That's going to be an iser deraisa. So Rashi is a das yachid. Rashi has a chiddush. I don't think the post can bring him down. But Rashi says the nature of this iser is that the person should not build a shul shelo yasu l'ritzpas avanim bebeis knesses the dugmas shel mikdash. It's an iser of building a shul to be like the beis hamikdash. Nothing to do with an iser of odazar of any sort. This week's Parsha in the Truma, we learn about the various kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, and there's an Isser to replicate those kalim. You can't build a menorah of seven branches, you can't build a shulchan and mizbech, the same exact dimensions. So Rashi says a similar type of Isser is building a shul with stone floor that would also replicate to a certain extent the Beis HaMikdash, and that would be an Isser deraisa. So that's Rashi's understanding, but completely different than the rest of the Rishonim. Again, I don't think Rashi is brought down in the post. According to Pasha Pshat of the other Rishonim, is there's an Isser to bow down on a floor that has stone floor, meaning you can build a shul with stone floor, you just can't bow down with Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim. And if you do so on a stone floor, that is an Isser D'Araisa. But there is an Isser D'Rabbanan even without that. So if you look at Tosas Dir Maschel V'Ibayis Ema, Tosas points out, if you look at Miu Kasher, on halfway down that Tosos, he says, "Miu kasha lelishna kama de aser midrabanan below pishu yadayim raglayim." According to the first man damer the Gemara, I'm not reading through the Gemara, but the Gemara had a whole story of how it was allowed, why Rav didn't do nefilas apayim. So, according to the first explanation of the Gemara, it comes out is that there's an iser midrabanan to bend down even without below pishu yadayim raglayim. So that might be his keda. Keda, what the Gemara describes, if a person goes on his knees and puts his head on the floor, but doesn't spread out his hands and his legs, that's called keda. That would be an iser midirabanan. So Tosa says, according to that opinion, that there's an iser midirabanan to bend the head without pishit yadayim raglayim. It says yesh l'tmua al batei knesios. It's a big problem. How the shul shalom, our shuls, asks Tosfos, sheyesh ben ritzba, that they have a stone floor, heyach nofel shliach tzibra apanav, how is he able to bend his head? Apparently the shliach tzibra wasn't doing pishi adayim v'raglayim, that would be an issa deraisa, he was simply bending his head. Tosfos doesn't say how far down he bends his head, but let's just assume he would go down on his knees and then put his head down on the floor. How would that be permitted if there in fact is an isser midirabanim? So Tosas suggests Nira li dematle atzluye, they must tilt their head. They don't bend it straight. They bend, but they turn off to the side a little bit. That way, it's not going to be an iser midirabanan. So we see from Tosas though that there's an iser even without pishit yadayim v'raglayim. The Mishabura points out there's another type of iser midirabanan that would be, let's say you have a carpet floor or any other non-stone floor. There could be wood or whatever other material. So the Mishnah Berurah points out, if you do a pishit yadayim raglayim on a non-stone floor, that would also be an iser midirabanan. So again, an iser deraisa is stone floor plus pishit yadayim raglayim. That's midiraisa. Midirabanan is one without the other. If you have a pishit yadayim raglayim on a non-stone floor, that's a midirabanan. Or you have a stone floor without pishit yadayim raglayim, you just bend your head, that would also be an iser midirabanan. So let's understand for a second the nature of this Isser Deraisa. So the Isser Deraisa again is if a person bends down Pishit Yadayim V'Raglayim on a stone floor. What exactly is the nature of this Isser? So the Rambam says the whole idea is Shelo Yisdame Lavodas Hatzlamim. We don't want to be similar to the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It sounds like Chukas Akum. Chukas Akum, there's a whole section in Hilchos in the Shulchan Aruch about Chukas Akum, how we dress, and how we get haircuts, and a lot of things that we do, it's called chukas akum. So too, the Rambam says you shouldn't bend down on the stone floor. That looks like chukas akum. Not avodah zarah. It's chukas akum. The chinuch says differently. The chinuch says the reason is not because of chukas akum. He suggests maybe it's because it looks like you're bowing down to the stone. As if the stone is an idol, it looks like avodah zarah. So are we going to categorize this as a chukas akum problem, being similar to the goyim, or as an isra avodah zarah, as if you're worshipping the idol, stones? So those are the two different reasons. And there is the chinuch says, now, according to what I'm saying, says the chinuch, that I think the whole concern is it looks like avodah zarah, I can understand why it's permitted to bend down and bow down in the Beis HaMikdash. Because everyone knows in the Beis HaMikdash that you're serving the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there shouldn't be a problem. The chashash is only outside the Beis HaMikdash where you don't know what you're serving. There's a stone floor in front of you, and it's unclear what you're serving, so there's a chashash. Now, David asks the great question. If you're in shul, everyone knows you're worshipping God. That's what the shul is for. So that's a great question. I don't have an answer to that. It would seem to be pashut also. But maybe the chinuch was talking about an area that's not in shul. Maybe he meant the Beis HaMikdash or anything like that, where it's so clear you're worshipping Hashem, so then you're allowed to bow down. But if it's a place that's outside, you're in the marketplace and you're davening and you want to do bending down in the stone, so that's where he said there would be a problem, because it appears as if you're worshipping that stone in a problem of avodah zarah. But the chinuch says, according to the Rambam thinks it's a problem of chukas akum, so then chukas akum should be a concern no matter where you are. I mean, if I dress a certain way, there's no heter for me to dress like a goy in the Beis HaMikdash. So just like an action that I'm doing, I shouldn't do any actions that the goyim are doing, even if it's a Beis HaMikdash. No one's contesting that I'm not worshipping Hashem when I bow down wherever I am. The Rambam says, we just don't do things that they do. I don't dress like that. They dress. I don't get haircuts like they get haircuts. And I don't do actions like they do actions. And I can't bow down anywhere, not even in the Beis HaMikdash, asks the chinuch. And the chinuch says, I don't know how to explain the Rambam, but I do know the Rambam has probably a very good reason, which I just can't figure out, as to why, according to his svara, it would be permitted to bow down in the Beis HaMikdash on the stone floor. So the Minchas chinuch says there's a nafkamina between the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch. What's the nafkamina? He says whether this is a requirement of Yarg Val Yavor. We know Yarg Val Yavor, that if a person, a goy, puts his gun to your head and says, either you do this avera, I'm going to kill you. So normally we say, v'chai behem, you're supposed to live by the Torah, not die by them. You're supposed to violate the avera. He says, eat pig, or I'll kill you. You eat pig. He says, steal, or I'll kill you. You steal. But we know, of course, that stops when it comes to the big three. When it comes to Shvichas Damim, Gilarayos, and Avodah Zarah. So we say, better not to, you're not allowed to violate the avera, better to give up your life. Better to Yarug Vayavor, get killed, as opposed to violating the big three. So what if a person says, bow down on this stone, I'm going to kill you? Do you have to Moser Nefesh, give up your life, or should you bow down? So Minchas Chinuch says it depends on the Shita of the Rambam and the Shita of the Sefer Chinuch. According to the Rambam, who thinks it's a violation of Chukas Akum, nothing to do with Avodah Zarah, so then of course you should bow down. Chukas Akum is no different than stealing, no different than any other Vera we have throughout the Torah. You should bow down, it's Chukas Akum, and therefore save your life. Just like if he says, cut off your payas, or he says to you, look like a goy, just like a goy, of course you would dress like a goy to save your life. But if you assume, like the Sefer Chinuch, that the problem is of worshipping or bending down on a stone floor appears like a Avodah Zarah, so then he says you would have to give up your life. Because even though it's not actual Avodah Zarah, we know in your mind you're not worshipping this stone, but there's something called Abizrayu. Abizrayu is when we take the big three, Shvichas Damim, Gilarayos, and Avodah Zarah, we can expand them. So for example, Shvichas Damim, what's the halacha of embarrassing someone in public? The guy comes to you and says, embarrass that guy in public, pour something disgusting on him, so he's embarrassed, or I'm going to kill you. What's the halacha? Should he embarrass the guy and save his life, or should he have himself killed? So the Gemara tells us that we learn from Yehuda and Tamar, that when Yehuda was with Tamar, and he didn't know this was his daughter-in-law, she had dressed differently, and then she was pregnant, and Yehuda was ready to take her out to be burned. So she says, whoever owns this ring and other stuff, Cain, he's the father of this child. And then he realized that he was the one who made her pregnant. He's the father. He says, Tzadka mimeni, she's much greater than I am. So Gemara says, how come she didn't just say, Yehuda, you're the father? And the Gemara says that we learn from here that embarrassing someone in public is like killing someone. The Gemara explains because he gets so embarrassed, the red, the blood leaves his face, he turns so white and pale, it's like killing someone. So certainly everyone agrees embarrassing someone is not really killing someone, but it's abizrai, it's an extension of the shvichas damim, is the category. So that's an example of something similar to killing someone.
It's
so,
not actually a yavor.
So there's actually a machlokas Rishonim about this.
So I heard there was a tshuva. Somebody asked Rishon Zalman or something that if you're in shul on Shabbos and like somehow you know that somebody's about to was this the example? You know that somebody's about to embarrass another person in front of everyone, and you know that like if you just turn off the lights in shul, that it would create enough chaos that it would prevent the person's plans from being. Being met, could you do it?
Interesting.
Because Shabbos was outweigh murder.
Right.
You know, we could save a life.
Right.
If that's considered murder. I think the conclusion was that, that really, really like murder, so no, you can't.
Right. But, this is a very interesting case. But I'm saying in the Rishonim, there is a machlokas. I think it's Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva. I think he paskins that it would be Yag VaYavor. Now, would you say the same thing for Shabbos violating Shabbos? I'm not sure. I don't think we paskin this way, but still, it would be just an interesting example, at least according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that although it's not actual killing, he does think it's Yag VaYavor, and it's what Bezrayu would say, extension, expanding that definition. But Halach L'maaseh, you're correct, which itself, that's a fascinating tshuva.
I never saw it, I heard about it years ago.
Right. Other examples that come up, trying to think. Nothing comes to mind, but this we see that we are able to expand sometimes the definition of the big three. So here as well, although bowing down on stone is not really a avodah zara, because the guy has intention to daven to Hashem, but since it appears like it, it's medame, it's similar to avodah zara. So then the Minchas Chinuch says it's possible that we should say Yag VaYavor, he should give up his life so it shouldn't look like avodah zara. That's what the nafka mina.
We don't paskin now.
Right, exactly. Minchas Chinuch says in the end of the day, which is a very important yisod, we don't paskin. Remember why he says we don't paskin that way? He says because who are we to figure out reasons of the Torah? The Torah says not to bow down. We don't know the reason for it. Yes, we have an interesting conversation. We try to figure out why. But we don't really darshan time or dekra to paskin halacha that way. The Rambam thinks this is the reason. The Sefer Chinuch thinks that's the reason. We're not going to then dictate, well, if according to the Rambam it's really avodah zara, you should give up your life. We don't know if that's really the true meaning behind the Torah, so we still try to figure out why, but we can't pay paskin based on our svara alone. So one should not give up their life. It's similar to in the Sunday Shir, we're talking about payas, and there's a machlokas as to why do you have to keep the payas here. What's the reason behind this? And the Rambam says, because of chukas akum, similar thing to here. That's the goyim have a payas. Don't have payas, so we do have payas to be different than the goyim. So then they say, oh, okay, according to that reason then, so chukas akum, a person, the Gemara talks about a certain individual, Gemara Tainus, that he had to work amongst the goyim. He was an undercover, he was a spy, and he had to dress like the goyim in order that they shouldn't figure out who he was. So the Gemara says, so we see from here, halacha says, if it comes for the purpose of being undercover, and to be a spy, or if a person is close to the government, which they require you to cut your hair in a certain way, the halacha is you're allowed to cut off the payas, mishum shal malchus. It's brought down in the Taz, in the Chukas Hakim. You can cut it off. So the Taz says so too.
Wait, you violated Daraisa?
Wait, let me backtrack, I'm sorry. When it came to Chukas Hakim, I meant dressing like a goyim, you're allowed to for shal malchus. The Taz says, so along the same lines for the Rambam, who thinks payas is also chukas akum, he says you're allowed to cut off the payas for shal malchus purposes. That's the Taz. Because the Rambam says, why do you need payas? Not to look like the goyim. Ah, so just like you could dress like the goyim for shal malchus, you should be able to cut off your hair for shal malchus. That's the Taz's understanding of the Rambam. And the Torah, who came before the Taz, but the Torah says, how could the Rambam suggest the reason in the Torah for payas? The Torah says you can't cut off payas. Don't figure out why. We can't paskin based on why. And therefore the Torah goes in a whole big, not a big rant, but he gets so upset at the Rambam for trying to give a reason and to paskin based on this reason. And then post came afterwards, the Beis Yosef and the Derech Moshe try to explain what the Rambam meant by this. But when it comes out in the end of the day, most post can say, the Rambam is just trying to figure out the reason just to give us some tam. Torah says you figure out reasons, but we're not going to change how we paskin based on the reason. There's a Kedarish HaKosev, you have to leave pace. What the reason is not going to impact halachas. It's going to just impact our understanding of the mitzvah. But we can't paskin based on a reason suggested by the Rambam. So here as well, the Minchas Chinuch says, just because the Rambam thinks bowing down on the stone is like Chukas Akum, we're not going, or like Avodah Zarah, like the Chinuch, either way, we're not going to use the reasons to change how we paskin. That's the important yesod. So you can't get confused with Darshan time of the Kra and paskin halacha. They're two different things. So now we see that there is an Issa Deraisa bowing down on stone floor with Pishat Yadayim V'Raglayim. Is there ever a heter to bow down and spreading the arms and legs on a stone floor? So the Rambam writes in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, this is number 4, Perek Vav Halacha Zayin, he says, Mipnei zeh nagu kol Yisrael latziya machatalos bebotik nasios haratzufos bavanim. They place down these mats when they bow down, omine kash, or some type of straw, v'teven, lahavdil bein pneim u'bein havanim, between their face and the stone. Interesting, the Rama mentions only the face, he doesn't mention the knees. We'll see at the end that one should cover the knees as well, but you should cover, this should be a separation. V'imlo matza davar mavdil beino vein ha'even, if you don't find anything to separate, holech l'makom acher u'mishachave, go to a place where it's not stone, o shoche al tzido u'matik kedei shel yad b'kpanav be'even, or turn your head to the side. So for the Ramama, the heter is either have a cover in front or turn to the side.
We were talking, you know, that when you're doing it on Yom Kippur, right, you really should have something under your head too, right? I'm saying a lot of times you just see people putting it on their knees.
100%.
And the whole shul, and even here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd probably do it too, you know?
For sure.
You should have something underneath your head so that your head hits the...
Correct.
Towel too.
Exactly. Pisket Chuvas points that out, that you have to certainly have your head there as well. So,
in Echanami. I'm going to walk around giving out things.
There you go.
In fact, it doesn't mention the knees. Maybe it holds you don't need to have the knees.
Could be. Yeah, I'm not sure. It's interesting. It's possible. It is very possible because he says also the other head, there's just to turn your head around. So as long as your head, even though your body is on the floor,
then you're okay.
He might, the knee, the it seems that the face is more important and perhaps the only thing that's important for the Rambam. But what's really,
But we're not doing Pishat Yadayim Raglayim.
Exactly. That's where our whole minhag is strange because, firstly, for the Rambam, he says the only concern is if there's stone. If you have carpet, there's nothing. There's no concern. You could do a full Pishat Yadayim Raglayim on carpet according to the Rambam. So number one is you're davening here or even in the main shul where there's wood. There's no shaila for the Rambam at all. The only question is downstairs. Now downstairs, even that's not stone.
Nah, it's not real stone.
That's so. So for the Rambam,
I think it's like buying Home Depot.
Yeah. It's not made of stone. It's like a material that kind of bends. It's not stone, I don't think. Maybe there's stone in it, but it's not stone itself. Shivigdola, they have stone. So
like
that would
Pringles,
be.
Pringles, it's like Pringles' version of stone, reconstituted.
Oh, it could be that, right. I don't know. I forget the name of it.
There's something mixed together and turned into a solid.
Right. I'm not sure, but for the Rambam, there's no shaila. Number one is because we don't have stone floor. Number two is we're not doing a pishi adaim v'raglaim. The Tshuvas Rivash, one of the Rishonim, however, felt that even with carpet and wood, there should still be a concern because perhaps below the carpet, below the wood, there might be stone. Now, that's also not a concern because we don't build the stone here. There's steel. I don't think steel would necessarily be the same thing as stone. I'm not sure exactly. But for either way, the Rivash felt that in any situation, any type of floor, we should be concerned and not do a pishut yadayim v'raglayim.
What's the difference between that and the machatzalos? So the floor is even better than machatzalos.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why either. It sounds like, according to him, he would not allow the machatzalos. Remember, the machatzalos was not mentioned by the Gemara.
I think that's just the Rambam. The
Rambam was mechadeshit. He felt that it would still be a problem even if there are mats or carpet in front. Had we paskin? So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch number 6 now, the Shulchan Aruch writes, we're just reading the read the bold here, the Chayin Aser, L'chol Adam Lipol Apanav B'Pishi Adayim Raglayim. You can't do a full bowing. V'afilu Ein Sham Evan Maskis, even if there is no stone floor, there's carpet, there's wood, that's still a problem according to the Rivash. That's how we paskin. Aval Im Notek Tzas Al Tzidah, if you move a little bit to the side, your head off to the side, Mutter Im Ein Sham Evan Maskis, if there is no Evan Maske, I think it should be a separate heter. V'chein yaseb Yom HaKippurim. That's what we do in Yom Kippur. K'shenoflin al p'neim, when we fall on our face, im yatsiu sham asavim, k'dei l'hafzik bein karka v'chein nagin. So there's a lot of confusion what's going on here. Firstly, nowadays, we don't do pishat yadayim raglayim. There's no concern at all. That's number one. Number two is there's no stone floor. So if you're going to, let's say, Yeshiva Gedolah where they have a stone floor, so then it's a problem even without Pishir Daim or Glaim. That's clear. That's an Isser Midrabanan. But if there's a place where there is no stone floor, there's no chashash for anything, because we don't do Pishir Daim or Glaim, and we don't have a stone floor. Nonetheless, however, the postum say the practice is to be machmir in all cases of even without Pishir Daim Glaim, we have the practice of putting something underneath. That's the practice anywhere. Even though from this whole sugya we learned it doesn't make that much sense, it's really unnecessary, that's been the practice. So one should really put a covering anyways below the knees and below the head as well. Now, what's interesting is that the Shaar Tzion makes a suggestion. Let's say a person doesn't, I've done this before, let's say a person does not have a paper towel, or they didn't get he didn't realize, and they're about to bow down, so he doesn't have anything to stop in front of him. What's he allowed to use? So the Shaar Tzion suggests using your talus. If you're wearing a talus, you could bow down on the talus. That would be some type of separation that would be sufficient. But the Piskei Tshuvos points out that the clothing wouldn't be good to take your suit jacket, or to even put your jacket sleeve and to block. He doesn't think that would be good enough because he thinks the begadim are going to be batel to the body. The other suggestion, a person doesn't have, the people might be maris ayin because people don't know this halacha. If you turn your face to the side, that would also be a way around this problem. So those are the eitzas. Again, even though it seems that there's no need for any of this in a shul like ours, because there is no stone floor and there is no pishah daim or glaim, the chumra anyways is to have a covering in between, anyways, covering the knees and covering the face. One final point we'll discuss here, which comes up and which is very relevant and connected to this, is general nefiyas apayim. When we do nefiyas apayim on our left hand, or even the right hand during chakras, when you wear tefillin on the left hand, so the halacha is a person supposed to, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, you don't have this in front of you, he says, kishenofal apanav nagu lahatos al tzad smol. The practice is when a person bends, you're supposed to go on your left hand, unless you're wearing tefillin, so then you go on your right hand. Very strange thing. So the Mishnah Berurah explains here that because nefiyas apayim shenogu ba b'yom harishonim haya b'derech kida. Their nefiyas apayim in the times of the Gemara was derech kida, was mamish their face on the ground, not pishi adayim reglaim, but just their face on the ground. Sorry?
Fitachon,
exactly. The hainu lipo apanav arza, to place their face mamish on the ground. V'shelo pishi adayim reglaim. That's how it was. V'achshav, nowadays, says the Mishnah Berurah, lo nagu lipo apnei mamish. We don't really fall on our face on the floor. Ela bahatios rosh v'kisoy hapanim bevad. We just put it on our, the head and a little bit of covering on the face. That's all we do. Now, why do we cover the face? So they quote here in the Dirshu from the Rabbeinu Mechai that because covering the face is some level of busha and anava. If you read the words of Tachon are very, very difficult to read. They're very hard words. They don't come easy. But part of it is a lot of busha of averas that we're involved in. It's supposed to be a humbling experience.
A heavy prayer.
Yeah, very heavy prayer. That's why it's brought down. People get very excited. They want the chassan to come daven, so they don't say Tachon during Shavuot Brachos. But the Mishnah Berurah frowns upon this and says, better for a chassan to stay home. I'm not pasking this way, but he says, better for a chassan to stay home than to come to shul, because now by him coming to shul, no one could say Tachanun. And we're like, we don't say Tachanun. We're so excited for Rosh Chodesh Nitzan. But the Chavetz Chaim says, this is a very powerful tefillah if we could really internalize it. Part of it is really a humbling experience. So the Rabbeinu Bechai, one of the Shurim, says the reason to cover the face is because to humble ourselves as we bend down. That's why he says we cover it up. But either way, the reason why we bend down on the left side is because it's supposed to emulate this nefiyas apayim that they used to do on the floor. And the Mishnah Berurah finishes off saying, and the practice is again to cover the face with the beged, with the sleeve. Velo dai kisei yad. It's not enough to cover your hand. If you're wearing short sleeves, you shouldn't use your skin on your head because it's considered batel. When your skin against your skin, that's not considered a separation. You need a real cover, so your sleeve is going to be considered a real cover.
How come only Ashkenazi?
The Sfarim don't do this?
No.
I really, I don't know. Then I'm not sure. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know what the Sfarim do.
But when they
don't put their head down.
Rabbi,
top.
Yeah. They used to do tefillin and straight down.
Yeah.
When are we talking about that?
Well, historically, I don't know when that stopped.
I'm saying, wasn't that they couldn't do that on a stone floor, though, right?
Correct. So they would have to, like what we do in Yom Kippur, they would have to do mats.
Or mats.
Exactly.
Okay. But they would go with their head down.
Exactly, right. So I saw somewhere That might be why, maybe it's in the Berlacha here, I'm not going to read through the Berlacha, but I think he says that's why when we bend down, some will turn their head as well. Because now turning the head, we said one of the heterim for bowing down on a stone floor is you turn your head to the side a little bit, that also would allow you to do that. So it sounds like we have a lot of chumras here. You know, covering the head, when you're not, you're not doing pishya adayim raglayim, that's number one. Number two is, this is a carpet floor. Number three is, they say, turn your head to the side. We're trying to do all these different heterim in order to avoid violate the issa deraisa. So it's evolved to a bowing down of the head, on the arm rather, with the cover off to the side. All of this has evolved from that halacha that we started off with, that a person should not bow down, do a pishya adayim raglayim onto a stone floor. Okay, so we'll stop here. Now moving forward, I know we're missing a few guys here. We have to strengthen it up a little bit.